Too many of us are going through life stressed, anxious, depressed, and alone. We carry scars from our past that follow us into the future. But what we've seen as weakness turns out to be our greatest strength. We are not the damaged, the defective, or the weak. We are the unbroken. Well, hello again, unbroken friends and family. This is your host, Pete Bucher. It's a delight and privilege to be with you here. As always, it's been quite some time since I released an episode, and a lot has happened in the world, in my life, certainly in your lives. I want to honor that. I want to honor that space that has existed for the last almost year and a half since I last released an episode. In the journey that has taken place over the last 2.5 years or so since I released the first episode of this show. I've thought a lot about this show. Every day I think about this show and the people that I've come into contact with, those of you who have listened, those of you who have reached out, those of you who have joined our Facebook community over time, and how I can best serve you. Because this is such an important and big, and really, I think, a concept that's really starting to come into its own, but one that continues to be under-recognized and underserved. Just the collective trauma that exists in the world as we see the impact of it, and as you come into a deeper state of healing for yourself, you become much more aware of the impact of the trauma on the people around you, on the on society, and on the globe on which we live. So it's sort of in that vein that I have decided that it's time for me to conclude this particular show, because I feel like it is complete. I feel like there's enough here. The intention of the show was to help guide people dealing with the adult effects of childhood trauma, those who are just coming to a realization, those who have been through years and years and years of therapy, 12-step groups, self-help books, etc., to illuminate sort of maybe a new path or a hopeful path, a discrete path to healing, and to share my own journey with that. And I believe there's enough here already to complete that mission. And I feel like there's, frankly, a much bigger conversation to be had about life, about the world in which we live, about the events that we're experiencing at this time in our history. Just yesterday, the day prior to the recording of this, Russia invades Ukraine, and we can talk about the impact, the effect of ego, of certain aspects of human nature, and certain aspects of a traumatized psyche that leads to just this insatiable greed, this need for resources and for power and for control and for for the exercising of power over other people. And not to get political on the show, because that is not at all the intent of this show whatsoever. But just to say, to look at the world, the bigger picture of the world in which we live through the eyes of unhealed trauma of individuals, of populations of people, and maybe even the cumulative trauma of humanity as a whole, really opens, my eyes are so open to it, and the suffering in the world and the need for deeper healing and to be a force of love, I feel like I want to take my work now into a different direction. And I feel like I've left enough here for those of you who find yourself on this path, or continuing on this path, or repeatedly cycling back to the path, as we all do. There's enough here to help guide you to through this phase of the healing. And then what I hope is that my future endeavors then will pick up where this leaves off and really sort of show you what it is to live in as a recovering as a recovering victim of childhood abuse. And I use the V word victim very carefully, because it's easy to get trapped in a mindset of being a victim, and I'm guilty of that still in my own life at times. I'm much more aware of it and can get out of it much faster. But victim, capital V, which is that we have sustained these traumatic episodes in our lives. But what it is to live in the world in a meaningful way, to shine a light of love, of compassion, of understanding, despite having been wounded. In fact, I believe that people who are wounded have a greater capacity, because we have the ability for true empathy. We understand suffering like nobody else can understand suffering. And we can be present with suffering like nobody can be present with suffering. And I believe that we have that call once we get to a sufficient state of taking care of ourselves, a sufficient state of healing. Now, you know, we get 1, 2, 3 steps up the path, and now it's time to turn back and lend a hand, which is what this show was really intended to be. And I hope that you have found it to be that. So it's not that I'm going away. It's not that my work is stopping. It's that it's actually going to amplify into a much bigger calling that has been presenting itself now for quite some time, a number of years now. So I see the Unbroken podcast and all that has gone with it as a major stepping stone, and as a very meaningful and poignant and beautiful beginning for me in my own path, and hopefully a meaningful thing for you on your path as well. That being said, there are a few things that I want to relay before sort of closing this show out. And I have a few things that I will offer you that I hope that you'll enjoy, or at least find meaningful, and will leave something important here. And then I will also direct you as to where to go next to find me if you want to continue to follow along with the work that I'm doing. And I would love to have as many of you along as are willing to come. But there's, I think, three sort of main points I want to make to close out this particular show. And these are all points I've made over time throughout the different episodes, and probably some threads that have existed through multiple episodes. But I really want to kind of cap it here, because I think these are really important. Like, if you never listened to another episode of the show and you only listen to this one, like, these three things I think are so critically important to take home. Number one is the point that I make in the actual intro to the show. So you've heard it, if you've listened to a number of episodes, you've heard it a number of times, but that is that the fact that you survived, whatever it is that you survived, whatever type of abuse or trauma that you lived through, and you are here now to tell the stories of, that the fact that you survived that you continue to keep showing up, right? The personality traits that you have developed, the defense mechanisms, coping mechanisms, which may torture you at times, but all of those things are indicators of your strength, of your resilience, and of your fortitude. These are not weaknesses. It is part and parcel with the suffering of abuse and trauma that the abusers and the traumatizers use shame as one of the most powerful weapons in their arsenal to maintain control, to exert control over the victim. And so we become convinced over time that there's something wrong with us, that we have a personality, that we have a flaw, that we are weak, that we are disgusting, that we are whatever it is that you've been told. I was told all of those things. I'm weak, you're weak, you're disgusting, you disgust me, you're an embarrassment, all those things, right? But the fact is, as we begin to heal, we start to understand that the real person with the weakness, with the flaw, with the difficulties, is the traumatizer, is the abuser, reflecting their own feelings of weakness, of ineptitude, lack of control, their own shame. I use the word shame to refer to a complex of, like, something wrong with me, like this whole sense of there's something defective with me. They reflect their own shame complex onto us, and then we carry it, where they may or may not. So the fact that you're here, the fact that you're showing up to a show like this, to content like this, and you want to heal, and you want to, and you continue to seek love, and you continue to seek peace in yourself, and you continue to get out of bed every day and live whatever life it is that you live, that's a sign of your that you are a survivor, you are courageous, that you've faced fearful, horrible, sometimes unfathomable circumstances and kept showing up in life. And that is not a small thing, folks. That is huge. In my mind, it is some of the bravest shit that happens in this world, frankly. So give yourself credit where credit is due. You're a courageous, and that gets to the heart of why this show is called Unbroken. It's like, you're not weak. You're not defective. You are courageous in the greatest of ways, and you wear the scars to prove it, just like a warrior in any other sense. So the scars that you carry are signs of your strength, of your resilience and fortitude, not of having been weak or defective in some way. Number two is that you are deserving of the love that you want. You are deserving of the love that you want, of the happiness that you want, of the abundance and prosperity that you want, whatever it is. But ultimately, it all comes down to love. Most of us, we get into patterns of new abusive patterns with new people. We get into codependent relationships. We sell ourselves short. We get into work situations where the cycle of trauma continues. Because it's somewhere in our core, we don't believe that we're really worth better. And the biggest part of healing is, yes, you are worth more. You're worth everything that your heart desires. There's a reason those desires exist. And going back to one of the very first episodes of this show, you don't have to heal everything and be perfect to love yourself and then to be worthy of other people's love. That's a misnomer. It's a dangerous misnomer. You learn to love yourself as you are, which is that, yes, we are damaged. Yes, we do wear scars. Yes, we do have shortcomings. Yes, there are days where I still just want to lay in bed and not get out and not face the world because it hurts, because it's scary, because I just don't have the energy for it. But I also learned that that's part of my self-care. And I love myself then as much as I do when I show up and do the things I do in the world that are more demonstrative, social, going on stage and speaking or playing music or coming here and doing a podcast. It's all the same journey. It just looks a little different on different days. And I have to, and I choose to love and accept myself and all those versions because they're all me. And boy, that's been a long journey to get to that point. I know you all will understand that. There are two concepts from the Japanese culture. Some of you have probably heard of them. Others of you maybe not. And it has to do with the beauty of imperfection. There's a term called wabi-sabi, W-A-B-I-S-A-B-I. Finding beauty in imperfection and seeing the value in worn objects is the, I'm reading just the Wikipedia or Google definition of it. Finding beauty in imperfection and seeing the value in worn, W-O-R-N, objects. So we start there. We see the beauty of our imperfections, the beauty of our flaws, the beauty of our scars, the beauty of the fact of all the pain that we cause ourselves, just wanting to be loved. Just wanting to be accepted, just wanting to feel peace, just wanting to have a life that we can wake up for and find joy in. It's really, really beautiful if you start to look at it through those eyes. The second term is called kintsugi, K-I-N-T-S-U-G-I. And this is, to me, and I'm not a Japanese culture expert. So if those of you out there who may be Japanese or who understand these things better than I do, please be patient with me. But this is my understanding. It's kind of like almost like the next level. Kintsugi is the highlighting or the emphasizing of imperfections. And so if you look up these terms, you'll see these pottery where like the pottery is broken and they put it back together, right? And then they've actually added color to highlight the imperfection. You know, painting the cracks in the pottery a different color to really show off the fact that, yes, this was broken and now it's back together again. And you may hear one of my dogs upstairs giving the mailman some grief. We're going to leave it in there because the beauty is in the imperfection. The beauty is in the everyday life. So I'm going to leave that in there, really put my money where my mouth is, so to speak. And the third thing is that healing is a lifelong journey. And I don't say that to make it sound dark or difficult or hopeless. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I really want you to invite you to show yourself some tenderness, some patience. If you learn to recognize the cycles when they show up, the shame cycles. As Eckhart Tolle, if you're familiar with his writing, he calls it the pain body, when our pain body comes to visit, right? We recognize those, we honor them. As Rumi says in the poem, The Guest House, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in, right? You realize that this is a lifelong journey. It gets better. The stuff gets triggered less easily, less severely. When it does get triggered over time, as long as you're doing the healing and you're aware of it and you're really willing to see it for what it is and experience it. But I'm not sure that, at least in my experience, and I still have hopefully a number of years to live, I'm not sure it ever really goes away. I think it just becomes kind of like a little voice that has less and less impact over time. And it takes a lot more nowadays to trigger me than it used to, but it still happens. I've just learned how to deal with it better. I've learned how not to project it onto other people and then react to them. I've learned how to keep my mouth shut when I want to react verbally in ways that could be harmful or hurtful to other people or to myself, or to say things I might regret. Or do things that I might regret. So I become wiser, maybe. And some days it feels easier, and other days it does not. But I can at least see it for what it is. And that's a big part of the battle. So be tender with yourselves. Don't be so impatient. I think for a long time I felt, well, I've got to figure this stuff out so I can have real love, so I can have a real relationship, so I can not be so reactive or volatile at times. And you know what? I've really changed my view on that as I've gotten smarter about it, which is, no, it's my job to be wiser. It's my job to be more loving and compassionate. It's my job to practice restraint at times where it's difficult. But it's not my job to have it all figured out before I start to live. And that's really the point, is live. Life is so precious. It goes fast. There's so many experiences to have. So much love to give and to receive. So much beauty comes from the wounded heart. So share that. Share it and open up to receive it. Don't wait for some other time that maybe it'll feel better or seem better. You'll feel more worth it. You're worth it now. You always have been. The belief that we're not worth the love, the abundance, the prosperity, the happiness, that was just a belief that we inherited through bad circumstances, but it was never true. And hopefully you get that as you go through the episodes of the show. And if you need reminders, just reach out to me. I'll tell you at the end of this how to get a hold of me. I'll put it in the show notes. I know some of my contact stuff has changed throughout the course of the episodes. I'll do my best to go back through the show notes and correct that. Some of you have reached out and said, oh, I finally found you. It's, you know, tried these different things that you mentioned and there's nothing there. So I apologize for that. I'm constantly evolving and honoring myself. I don't want to say reinventing because I'm just am me, but me goes through different iterations over time. So I'll make sure that you know how to get a hold of me. And if you need reminders, you know, reach out. I'm happy to do that. I love doing that. I love hearing from you. Even though the show is ending, doesn't mean that my commitment to you is ending. In fact, I think it's going to become even greater in the next iteration of the things that I'm doing. But if I'm the only voice that you hear telling you this today, hear this now and believe that it's true, is that I love you exactly as you are. You don't need to show up any different way for me. I see you. I see your beauty through the cracks. Because of the cracks. Because of the wounds. Because of the scars. Not in spite of them. So know that. As for me, it's been interesting. Through the pandemic, as you know, I've been in a lot of things in my life. I've been a surgeon. I've been a meditation and spiritual teacher. I've been a chief medical officer of a digital, really cool virtual reality digital health company that's doing great things in the world. But my first love, in addition to teaching and to healing, I have this healing thing in my blood, as you know. If you've listened to any of this, show, even if this is your first episode that you ever come across, hopefully that comes through. But the thing that really helped me get through in my early life, and I remember my earliest memories, honestly, when I was maybe two, three years old, and in the years following that, and the years through which a lot of the, the sexual abuse that I went through, the thing that I turned to that really helped me heal and helped me, frankly, survive a lot of those times was music. I could sit in my room and just put on records at that time. You know, vinyl records, 33s, 45s, for those of you who were alive in that time. Tapes, CDs, MP3s as technology evolved. But music was my escape. It was always the thing I could do where I could feel at home. I could feel safe. I felt like, you know, my favorite musicians in those days, whether it be the Beatles or Billy Joel or The Kinks when I was younger. There's so many of them. I'm just naming a few albums specifically that I remember going to. The 80s, of course, was just rife with great music. Late 70s, early 80s. Zeppelin, Queen. I'm a rock guy. I love rock. I love some of the pop back in those days. Love the Motown and the R&B as well. Rap. Love the... I love all genres of music. It just... Honestly, it has to speak to me, and I have to feel something when I hear it, and I like it. But all that to say is that my escape has been music. And when I was young, I was about 9 or 10 years old, I picked up a guitar. There was always a piano in my house. My mom is sort of a virtuosic piano player, if that's a word. So there was always a piano, and I would kind of noodle around on the piano. But I picked up the guitar. I just fell in love with it, and... stepped away from it for a few years when I was a kid, but really in my freshman year of high school where things were really challenging for me, I picked it up and just fell in love with it all over again, and I've just never stopped, put it down again. I've just been playing, and shortly thereafter I began writing, and I've been writing songs now for over 30 years. Of course, in the early days, they weren't so good. The first song that I wrote that I felt was like, oh, this is actually a thing. I was 19 years old. I still play that one when I play live and when I just practice and rehearse. That's a song called Heaven Only Knows. And but I just continued writing as a way to escape when life would get challenging or difficult, or I would get inspiration to have a creative outlet to move some intensity in my life. I would write, music. And so during the pandemic, I really picked it up beginning of end of 2020, early 2021. I did a songwriting challenge. I found some new ways, some new tools. I really dove heavy into the craft, and I've been really writing and playing a lot ever since, and communicating with other writers and really kind of diving into the craft. So I've really gone full tilt into the writing and the production, that kind of stuff. And of course, the songs that I play and that I sing, they have these deeper messages in them, right? This is who I am. You've gotten to know me over time in this show. And that's the guy who writes and sings these songs. So I think a number of them could be pertinent to you. And you'll see, knowing me, it's sort of interesting. Knowing me, you'll sort of see and hear parts of my own journey that I've shared with you in these songs. And so what I'm going to do after this episode, I'm going to post a couple of those songs just as kind of their own episodes, so to speak, so that you don't have to hunt through and find them, just right there if you ever want to listen. One is a song called Hollow Trace, which is really chronicles my journey through the healing process of everything that we've talked about, really about how as an adult I got to some point where life didn't make any sense. Everything I believed to be true, I questioned, and really diving into, you know, the painful and the heartache aspects of it, and then being encouraged by a dear friend at the time to seek help and to deal with some of my, not only my abuse and my trauma, but some of the co-addictions that went along with it, the drinking, the sex, and all this other stuff that goes sometimes alongside of this stuff, and what a difference that has made, and how at the end of the healing journey, I have no regrets. I wouldn't do my life any differently if I could choose to, because in the end, I became the man that I am because of it. And that song really was poignant as a one to write, because it really came through and it highlighted to me my own healing journey, as these songs often do. Any of you who do creative work, if you paint, if you write, if you play or write music, you understand it's not me creating these songs a lot of times. The song is just coming through. I'm channeling them out. And then I see them or I hear them and I go, oh, wow, that's really, you know, so I learned something from them too. The second song is a song called Honest Love, which is my reflection on the first time I felt loved unconditionally. I stared unconditional love in the face in the form of really two people at the time. One is a therapist who I began seeing, who was really what I felt the first true form of masculine love that showed up in my life, but someone who I knew I could tell anything and he wouldn't judge me. And a spiritual teacher that I became very familiar with around the time as well, Ram Dass, for those of you who know him, and just his poignant messages on love and just really feeling like, yes, it's really possible to be myself and to be loved. And what a powerful mirror that unconditional love becomes. And how beautiful but also painful that can be. And so that song, Honest Love, is a reflection of what it is. And so I think I chose those two to share because, one, I want to share, one, to honor the journey that you're on, and two, is maybe something to aspire to if you've never experienced it, or to give context to if you have. And now I'm thinking I should be doing these descriptions when I actually share the song. But I really wanted to share the songs kind of as their own thing so that you could just listen and not have to listen to a bunch of talking at the same time. And these will become available through other means as well. So if those speak to you, or if you care to follow my journey, or really honestly, if you just care to stay in touch with what I'm doing, the accounts I have now are sort of based around my music. But of course, the messages that I share, the memes that I share, the songs that I share, all very much are reflective of the deeper wisdom of the healing journey, and the various feelings and insights and all these things that arise from it. So, the musical name or moniker that I go by is called Bullshiva, Bullshiva. It's a very important spiritual name to me, but just think of it as sort of a masculine force of love that I think is so needed in this world and that I needed in my life. And then I've been able to channel through various of my spiritual practices, but then that becomes now the way that I share music and messages. So on Instagram, it's at Bolshiva Music. On Facebook, it's the same, at Bolshiva Music. On YouTube, it's Bolshiva. I'll leave a link. There's a few songs there, just acoustic versions of things that I've done. So those are the main ways. Email, you can do Bolshiva at Bolshiva.com, or you can still do the Pete at PeteBucher.com email. That is in all the show notes, I think, to date. And I would love to have some of you over just so that we can stay in touch. Of course, the Facebook group for now, the We Are the Unbroken Facebook group, still exists. If you want to come in there, I'll make some announcements in there too as to the next steps as far as another show. And different things that I'm doing along the way is there as well. So anyway, I've gone way over the amount of time I wanted to subject you to this today, but I really wanted to leave this show in a good place and give you a sense of future direction. And so I hope that I have done that justice. So I will just sign off here by saying again, I love you. I appreciate you. Everything that we have been through in these last 2.5 years together has been so meaningful. Has helped me grow, has helped my healing and recovery, and as you will do for others as you heal and recover, just your presence. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to start your own show. Some of you have. You've reached out to me, and that's beautiful. You don't have to start your own group. Some of you have. You've reached out to me, and that's beautiful. But just by being yourself as you heal, you shine a light for others who just now are realizing that they're desperately seeking a shore, and that's all that you have to do is be yourself. So I think that's a perfect way to leave it. I love you. I appreciate you. And I hope to see you again soon. And reminding you as always that my name is Pete, and that I am, and that you are, and that we are unbroken.